Alright, welcome to FearoCast. This is episode 3, and we are with Dr. Detail Wayne Zane. How's it going, Wayne?
It's going great, and I'm glad you're here.
So today's episode, we're going to talk about detailing. This is a good time. We're in the off-season of show season, so we can kind of look at how to prep your car for the next season coming up. Also, you know, for the Fieros, we got the big 35th anniversary show in August, so this will be a good time to kind of start looking at the car and looking at what just aspects that for detailing are can come into to help out for show season. Wayne, you are a very car enthusiast. You have many cars.
And I'm a lucky guy. I got a few. Absolutely, yes.
You refer to your garage as the Garage Mahal.
Yes, I do, and you will see it later today. Absolutely.
What kind of cars do you have in there?
I'm a lucky guy. I have a few Corvettes. I have a 2008 Saturn Sky, a 2002 Toyota MR2 convertible, and a 25th anniversary Trans Am.
Wow, you're all over the board.
Right? I'm all over the board, man. I tell you. It's not a car I don't like, so to speak.
You got a good array of cars that you kind of keep going to.
Absolutely. So. And I did have a Fiero, you know, four of them for a very, very long mm-hmm. time. And until about 3 years ago, I, you know, divested of the yellow Fiero. Mm-hmm. And it was that was a super car.
It was
an absolute super car.
Yeah, it was very clean, too. It was.
Oh, I mean, I bought it from Paul Vargas. Detailed the living heck out of it. Used that car as the backdrop some years ago regarding how to examine an automobile you just acquired mm-hmm. and what steps to take and products to use in order to get the maximum benefit and the desirability and look of a car. And that thing just killed.
It does. And when you take your time and you look at all that stuff, it is something that once you sit back and after it's done, it's like, wow. That's a great looking car.
And going through the process, for me and a lot of enthusiasts, and I'm sure for you, mm-hmm. it's a labor of love. It's not drudgery.
Right.
You're enjoying this. You're getting an instantaneous gratification from seeing the improvement of the automobile, and you're just so mm-hmm. proud of it. And when you take it to a show, a cruise night, and especially with the Fiero, people just come over to it. Mm-hmm. They're just amazed at how great these cars look and how they have endured since 84.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of the Fiero, you did some articles back in between 2007 and 2014 for detailing. So you did quite a bit of articles for Fiero Focus on the aspects of detailing.
Yeah.
And each one was very detailed, but
no pun intended.
Exactly. Yeah. But in those articles, you know, you talked about a lot of aspects of different areas of things to look at too when you're detailing. And one of the things that you were talked about in one of them was doing. You recommended doing them everything in the off season, prepping it for the next season.
Absolutely.
Coming up.
Yeah.
The one question that I have for you what are your thoughts on storing it on-site versus off-site storage when you're trying to detail?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, if you're storing a car off-site, let's say at a facility, I think there is a stipulation with most of them where you can't work on your car in a rental facility.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the preferable thing, in my opinion, would be in your own garage at home, a neighbor's garage, a friend or family member's.
Okay.
To give you the comfort level.
And you know, a lot of, not only, you know, Fiero owners, but car owners in general, they want to free up their garage during the winter so they can get their, you know, their other cars in there.
Yeah.
But they don't, some don't have that capability of keeping it there. Mm-hmm. We'll store it off site.
Yeah.
But temperature also when you're detailing, is that a factor?
You know, when you're detailing, it's a big factor. You know, I remember when I got the blue Fiero GT, the 87, that was delivered from somebody in South Illinois. It was about 20 degrees. And at night it got about almost, it got to be 15 to 10 degrees. But I just got the car and I wanted to work on it in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the waxes, the clay bar did not work properly because it was really too cold to do it. You need something, a minimum of 55 degrees or thereabouts, in order to have the product that you're using have the maximum result or a good result. Okay. Preferably, you know, in the 70s is ideal. And to do it in the shade, not in direct sun usually, because it adversely affects a lot of products. Some mm-hmm. you can do it, but the vast majority, in my opinion, you cannot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So overall, it's if somebody's able to get the car indoors locally, it's recommended to do the
detailing. Absolutely. A big awesome. Plus.
Cool.
A big plus.
Do you see any pros and cons versus storage? As far as, I know you touched base on sometimes some of the offsite storages, you can't really do that type of stuff there, but if it's a multi-garage storage where it's very well climate control kept,
okay.
is it something that with what you're looking at for detailing wise, the capabilities offsite versus inside your own garage, working on the undercarriage, the engine bay, stuff okay. like that, yeah. is that something that should be really done at home because you'll have more resources? Or,
well, you know, the funny thing is, if you have a facility, there are some really high-end ones. I don't know if you can work on the cars there, but they do have like a gathering for people to enjoy the automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you can work on it is another thing, but in my opinion, and the way I would do it, I would prefer doing it at home. You know, you have nobody bugging you. If you develop a problem, you have time to fix it, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and hopefully address it in an appropriate way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to get into the actual main topic of detailing.
All right.
What is your overall reason to... That calms you in the detailing aspect of your cars? Because I know you, mm-hmm. you've got so many, you spend so much time on, you know, even at the shows, when I see you at the shows, you've got
it takes a while
scrub yeah. brushes.
Oh yeah,
you know
oh,
you're yeah. in the
nooks creases and crannies and, yes. and all that kind yeah. of good stuff. Yeah. yeah.
So your overall reason is it. You want to get it back to that showroom quality, or is it you want to show the car as it's meant to be seen?
I do it primarily for the fun of it. And as a corollary to that, to see the almost instant gratification of people you don't know and people mm-hmm. you do know, that you've really done a superlative job making the car look as good as it could possibly look. You know, from the paint and body, the glass, the interior, the tires, how you go about that, the engine bay, the removal of dust, the products that you use. Like some years ago, I discovered at the behest of my wife, who's strong, he said, Wayne, to get rid of dust in the door jams, use a Swiffer. Oh my God, what a boon, man, I tell you. It's terrific. I even brought one over here. What the heck is it? I got a Swiffer with a long stem over here we can use in the, detailing of the engine bay and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Which is spectacular. I mean, there was a BGB judge, I won't mention his name, but he was watching at a show 2 years ago mm-hmm. using the Swiffer. And he goes, Wayne, what are you doing? I said, hey, this is a great thing. You get all the dust out of your door jams, etc. He has now used it successfully with his Buick Murrieta.
Wow. Yeah. See, and that's the nice thing is, you know, with just... You know, when you go to shows and you see, and I look at this too. You know me when I go to shows.
Yeah,
you know, I watch people,
yeah.
and I'm like, wow, that's different. That's new. And then I try to kind of recreate that.
Yeah.
Or if it's something where maybe that's something personal to them, I'll do an offshoot of it.
Sure.
But you know, just those simple things for detailing like that sure. that you can find in any regular store. Sure. You know, you're like, yeah. oh, okay, let's yeah. try that out.
I will never forget, this goes back about 2 seasons ago, you and I and some other people were at the Grand Victoria show,
mm-hmm.
And I was detailing my car, sitting on the ground, doing my tires with the Armor All to make it look good. And some nice lady came up to me and said, "Excuse me, are you Dr. Detail?" And I go, "Guilty as charged." You know, it's so cool, man, that people sort of remember you from all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's that was what I kind of think is gratifying too, is that, you know, you have that secret gathering.
The gathering of the clan, so to speak.
Yeah. As far as products go that you use, you know, I'll let you decide if you want to name them and not name them, but what are the pros and cons that you've come across over the many years that you've used them? Like, mm-hmm. is there one type of product that it just, as soon as you put the wax on, it just dries instantly and mm-hmm. it's just that really hard elbow grease to get that wax off, or, you know, maybe
been there, done it.
Yeah. Or even like a spray detailer. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, you'll apply the spray detailer and you wipe it off and all it does is just streak.
Oh yes.
What are some of the pros and cons? You just did an article for about detailing product updates for 2018. Does that kind of give a good overview of some of those pros and cons? Or, your personal opinion, what are some of your pros and cons?
Yeah, the article, the update for 2018 that I provided Jim at the behest of Knife member Rich Pedersen, you know, is an update of products that I have successfully used for decades. And the emphasis in my presentation was primarily Meguiar's and Mother's products. But, to be fair, I wanted to open it up, and I talked to some of my other good car show buddies mm-hmm. regarding non-Mothers or Meguiar products, which they used, which are reflected in that particular upcoming article. Again, there are many roads to the promised land in detailing. These products worked as good, if not better, in their opinion, mm-hmm. than what my experience was with the Mothers and the Meguiar's product. But from my perspective, what I like to do with a car, like this is the perfect time of year almost to mm-hmm. start doing this stuff or thinking about doing it in your garage or whatever. But I like to clay bar a car with either the Meguiar's or the Mother's kit. That really gets the paint, all the imperfections usually are off with that, but no, with a little effortless kind of stuff. And then utilizing the Meguiar's 2 wax, Tech 2, which I just absolutely love. I think of as a product that I've used for over a decade, that has provided the best, most wonderful, even look in paint, super shine, and it lasts. Getting it on and off isn't that bad. Again, you want to use it in the shaded area, mm-hmm. but I've utilized like the pad provided by Meguiar's and or, you know, Mother's. Augmented by the old white sock in those little those trouble areas, so you don't get this stuff all over the place, which is a pain. And you know, it's just the results are just spectacular. You know, mm-hmm. and it gets the car ready for the entire season that you have in front of you. Then, if you take your car to a show or something like that, use either I love the Mother's Quick Detailer.
Okay,
spectacular stuff. I always, when I get to a show though, like to swipe the car down with, you know, a microfiber and water just to get the dust in so you're not grinding it into the paint. But then to utilize the Quick Detailer of Mother's, spectacular shine.
Do you, kind of going, when you started talking about the paint, have you, with the current cars you have versus the Fiero, there's the two different styles of prepped paint. Mm-hmm. You have the all-in-one where the clear coat's mixed in with the paint and then applied. Then you have, in essence, what I call the old school technique, is where it's primed, it's painted, then it's clear coated once, mm-hmm. twice, three times.
Okay.
Have you noticed over the years the difference between the styles of painting, like a heavy clear coat versus the all-in-one prime paint and clear coat together?
Personally speaking, I really have not. You know what I mean? At all.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not one is holds the wax mm-hmm. better, or visually scratches and stuff like that, you can't tell the difference. Okay. So I know that's been a question that many have wondered over the years when they go into that next stage of repainting the car.
Okay.
Do I keep it original style paint where the paint shop will mix the clear coat and the paint together and spray the car versus giving me that extra protection of just painting it the color and then giving me those two, three clear, you know, coats of clear.
Now, from Velocity, a lot of the car, you know, restores, you know, they shoot a lot of clear coat after they paint mm-hmm. the original color, and the results are spectacular.
Yeah, and I've noticed that too. I just was wondering if you've seen any differences over the years between if you've noticed any, you know, maybe the paint softer versus, you know.
No, I really can't say that. No.
Okay, all right. How far do you go in your detailing when you start? Do you go in, how heavily into the engine bay do you go? Do you go under the under and do the undercarriage and get that taken care of as well?
All of the above. You know what I mean? I sort of like to take the tenets from the Corvette judging, which are very, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also some Mustang judging for Cobras. I mean, unbelievable stuff. You take nothing for granted. You know, you start various sections. You do them successfully. You do the paint, the interior, the glass, the engine bay. And for significant shows, I crawl under the car literally to do the undercarriage. And if you have a lift, utilize that lift to get access to those troubled areas mm-hmm. to really get that done. Even in certain shows, now this is ridiculous, but you take an old sock, water it down, and stick it in the tailpipe in order to get the dirt out of there. There was one judge at a show who took his fingers, Wayne, I'm going to find something wrong with your car. I'm going to show you what's where it is right now. He stuck his finger in one of my tailpipes, pulled it out. There was nothing. Reason being, I cleaned it. Because the year before he got me. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of those type of judges too, where they'll get on their hands, knees, and they'll look at every detail.
Well, a true story. When I just got my 1984 Pontiac Fiero Indy Pace car, I won a few shows with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was real cocky. I thought I knew everything in the world that there was to know about detailing in 1999. I took a car, the Fiero, to a show up in Woodstock. Car looked great, detailed the tires, detailed the entire interior, but I failed to do the door jams, and I failed to do the engine bay correctly. A judge came up and said, "This is a spectacular car, but how could you leave all of this dust and dirt in the engine bay?" And the horrible thing about that, before we did the show, Marcia came along with me, my wife. She warned me, "You better do the engine. You better do those door jams. It's dirty." "Oh, no, no, they're not going to look over there." I was so wrong. The judge looked at me and complained, said, "If you can't detail this car, you should sell it or give it to a museum." I felt awful. I lost the show. I looked like a fool, but you can either take that as constructive criticism and learn from it,
mm-hmm.
or just be mad. I looked at it as constructive criticism, and in the years following, I saw that judge many times, and he always really respected the fact that I took seriously his concerns and reservations regarding my detailing and did it right.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope, you know, everybody, you know, kind of gets an idea of. Not, you know, it's not, you know, somebody's like, "Oh, well, this car is dirty." It's the prep that goes into it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If people can't respect that, you know, you spend the time to do that, then, you know, they're not the true enthusiasts.
The funny thing is, I do, you know, Corvette shows on occasion. And some of these people with really high-end, you know, Corvettes, they'll come to a show, park in a class, and because they have a high-end car, just park it and leave it. They don't dust it. They don't detail it. They do nothing. They don't usually win. But that's the wrong attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I go to a show, people wonder, it takes me like an hour and a half to get a car properly detailed, but I take nothing for granted. You do the right thing, and people appreciate the fact that you're taking nothing for granted mm-hmm. and you're doing your thing out of it.
Yeah, and I've been to a few shows that I've seen you at, and, you know, it's you know, I do the same thing. I get there early enough to give at least 2 hours.
I've seen you, buddy. I've seen you.
To clean. And, you know, because it's just, you got to get all that road stuff up too. And you don't know what you're going to hit. So when you first started detailing, this goes back many, many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
How long did it take you to actually detail your first car that you had?
Okay. That's an interesting question. This goes back a long time. I want to say to 1979. I was lucky enough.
That was one.
I was lucky enough to get a 79 Trans Am. Red, black gut car, red wheels, beautiful thing. Raised letter tires. At that point in time, I used turtle wax, the liquid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the days before clear coat. I would take a sock to wax the car. The sock would be red from the removal of paint. It made it look good, but it was prejudicial.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I remember doing that car, it took me about an hour and a half to do the body. About half an hour only to do the interior business.
And those were long cars, too, at the time.
It's a big automobile. Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A behemoth, so to speak. And the tires, I used not bleach white, because bleach white wasn't around, I believe, in 79. I could be wrong, but... Ajax.
Oh, wow.
Ajax and a brush to bring back to beautiful tech, the raised letter tires.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about 45 minutes to do four of them. But it took a while. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, once you've done that, you made that contribution, making it looking good. When you have to do it again, it's a lot less time.
And that's one of the other questions I was going to ask is that once you do that long, you know, whether it's very tenuous or it's very just, you know, you think it's not going to get done, and then you finally get it done, whether it takes you, you know, 4 hours to do the first really big detail or it takes you 3 days, that gratification when it's done is the accomplishment is just great.
Oh, I could agree with you more.
But then as soon as you're done, you're thinking, you're like, oh, I gotta go to a show tomorrow. And I gotta drive, you know, 10 miles to the show, but maybe a quarter of the mile is down dirt gravel road.
Oh, yeah.
So once you're done with that, you're thinking, oh, crap, now what I gotta do? So, but once you get to that point, would you say it's extremely easy to keep it up, or you just have to make yourself keep it up and just, you don't have to really worry about going back to do the big detail again. Once it's done, you just have to keep it up.
Yeah.
So, after you've done that, what would you say that now that you're done, what's that time frame now gone from, say, that 4 hour mark to what now?
I would say that you could probably do it, but if you went through a dirt road or something like that, it's going to be a lot more than if you're driving on the expressway system. I would say probably, if it's not terribly dirty, 15 to a half an hour. If it's more aggressive dirt on the car, about an hour to get it back to detail. But I think from shows that we have done historically, I think everybody, and you, a lot of other people, I have containers of water that I bring, a little bucket, you know, a little scrub brush, all this kind of good stuff to really detail that stuff off, because you never know.
Right.
When I had the Indy Fiero, it had white wheels. And the most horrible thing is brake dust on white wheels. And I tell you, that car taught me a big lesson. Those you have to wash when you get to the show or whatever, it's a distance.
I agree. And I mean,
if you don't, it looks terrible. You can't spritz it real quick and try to get it
off. I would say when you're dealing horrific with that type of tires and stuff like that, or rims, you know, my nightmare was the honeycombs.
Oh yeah. And, I know your pain.
And those were, I look at that every time I either pull into a show or I get home and I'm like, oh, this is going to take me hours to clean.
Yeah,
and I would actually use either a paintbrush or even like a Q-tip.
Absolutely.
To get in there and to get that dust out. But again, it's like most of your time is going to be tied up in those wheels.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, in the wheel wells, you know, so you got, you know, once you get that back to clean, you know, it's pretty good. Yeah. So a really good feeling.
Well, funny thing is about going to Wheels. Wheels are very, very important at car shows as well as cruise day. People lucidly, you know, people immediately look at that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me on average about between 45 minutes on the Toyota to an hour on the Sky or a Vet to get those wheels clean. Also, like in the 25th anniversary Trans Am, those are white wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Those take a while, mm-hmm. you know, really. But you know what I mean? You bring the products that you need, you take the time, and they come back, they look stunning. Mm-hmm. People will comment, did you trailer the car in? No, I drove it in, but right. I cleaned it when I was here.
Yeah.
And people can see
it. And you know, the thing that I've noticed over the years, and you probably do too, or anybody who details a show car, or it carries over to your other cars.
With the exception of my wife's Jeep.
Because, I mean, I'll take our cars back to the dealership. You know, we've got a family minivan. And
and you're admitting to this.
I am. Well, you got two kids, and, okay. you know, you take long trips and stuff. You need that extra room. You know, and then, you know, we got an Equinox. And whenever I take it in, they're just always like, wow, mm-hmm. you know.
It's looking good.
It does. You know, they look at the engine compartment, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, wow, how do you keep it this clean? I'm like, mm-hmm. that's just me. That's, yeah. you know, because you have one, two, three cars that you mm-hmm. detail and you keep clean, it transfers over.
It carries over.
It does,
yes.
you know, and you always want to keep everything nice and spick and span. So once you get your, you know, the deep down clean and everything like that, it's a lot easier to keep it.
Absolutely.
Controlled. Yeah. I'll say controlled, yeah. because you know you can see the areas that get dirty. Would you say show prep is one of the biggest things that is going into a show for detailing, to prep it before you get there, or prep it at the show for the cleaning and the detailing?
Excellent question. For big judged shows, more so than the participant vote shows, participants, you know, they can be tough, but not as tough as a really, let's say a BGB judge, for example. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What I do is detail the car before the show. Do complete wax, do the windows, vacuum it out. When I drive the car to the show, I have the windows up, you know what I mean, so you don't get dust on it, because I have been burned with dust in the car from having the windows down. It's nice to experience that, but mm-hmm. it's not good taking points off with the judge. And then when you get to the show, you know, go over the whole thing again, do the tires and wheels, and when you're through cleaning them, what I love to do is put the conventional Armor All product on the wheels and on the treads, so that they look beautiful. It's not too big of a super shine on it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a little bit shinier than a matte finish, but it evens out the entirety of the tire and makes it look beautiful. And I'm a lucky guy. I have red line tires and gold line tires on a few of my cars. I utilize like a scuff pad and the bright white on the red lines. Mm-hmm. Oh, it comes, it look, they nice. Just pop.
One of everybody's fear, whether it's at a show, cruise night, just driving around, you know, if you want to take the car out for the weekend or for an evening, mm-hmm. is rain.
Okay.
Detailing going into a rainstorm versus a rainstorm and then coming home and detailing it.
Okay.
What would you say is, if it's at a show, your car is detailed, it's ready, it's clean, yeah. it's sitting there. The drive home, mm-hmm. downpouring, it's just, I'll say catastrophic.
Okay.
In your head, you're driving home and there's just so many things going through your head, the wheel wells, the rims, the tires, the engine compartment, the undercarriage, yeah. you know, the windows, the window ceiling trim, stuff like that. You get home, do you take care of that right away? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that you can let linger for a couple of days. What are the advantages? I have a couple stories
on point to that, totally. This goes back about, 10 years ago. Marsh and I went with the Yellow Fiero to a show in Glenview. The show ran long. The Fiero won its class, which I was very happy with. But there was a big thunderstorm that came. We had to drive through this thing. We had the T-tops up. Everything's cool. All that great. We're driving. It's a heavy, very significant rain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Marsha. Hey, this isn't going to be that bad. It's a real heavy rain. They'll probably clean the car off and the wheel wells. Marsha, who's smarter than I am, goes, "You're wrong. This is a dirty rain." And when you pull this car into the driveway and get out to take a look at it, it's going to be filthy. Well, she was right. In addition, this rain was so bad, and that was a T-tap car.
Mm-hmm.
We were taking on water like the Titanic. Oh, man, I tell you, this was not good. And Marsh was having towels to hold the water up. Oh, unbelievable. You know, but when we got home, you know, I looked, I'm right, Marsh. The car was filthy. I normally don't like to detail a car when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
But this car was so dirty. It wasn't real, it just was dirt, mud, crud. The wheel wells were terrible. It took me 2 hours to get, on a preliminary basis, all the muck off of that car. But wow. I did it immediately. Then I put it in the garage and let it dry and all, you know, and then waxed it the following days. Unbelievable.
So, would it have been harder if you let it sit?
Oh, God, yeah. And, you know, talking about terrible things that can happen to cars at car shows or coming home, there was one show I did years ago. And we're parking under these trees, a few of my buddies and I, and I'm detailing the car, and I go, "What's this stuff's like? Is this tree sap?" It turned out to be the cars were covered in what appeared to be tree sap,
mm-hmm.
but was actually excrement from bugs.
Hmm.
Whoa. Here's another example where when I got home, I go, "Hey, I'm going to get this stuff off." I washed the car thoroughly, got all this stuff off. If you didn't, you would have to take a clay bar to get this stuff off.
Wow.
If it dried. It was that bad. But that was the only time I've ever had a terrific experience with the excrement from bugs.
Wow.
And the whole cars were literally covered in all this. And you could, you know, it was unbelievable.
Wow. That's I don't know.
Not a good nightmare. Thing. Not a nightmare. Oh my. And some of the people who didn't paid the price on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my buddies had a convertible with the top down.
Oof.
You want that in your leather interior? Oh, it was horrible.
Wow.
Horrible.
So, yeah, speaking of leather, there's many different, actually I'm going to kind of do a twofold here for leather and tires.
Okay.
There's many different leather products out there. There's many different tire products out there. The one issue that I've always heard of,
mm-hmm.
is getting the right product, mm-hmm. for leather and for tires,
mm-hmm.
because the one bad thing is drying out. You don't want your leather to dry out, because then it starts turning whitish and you start, mm-hmm. getting that cracking look at it. Same with tires. You know, if you don't use the right product, I've always heard, is you're always going to come into, you know, you're going to dry out your tires, and they're going to start cracking at you.
That's right.
And they're going to start failing on you because you're drying out the rubber in there and stuff like that. So what are your thoughts on the good products to use to help keep the leather and the tires moisturized, okay. and UV protected? Most of the time, I mean, you know, these cars are only going to see, out of a year, they're only going to see maybe a full month's, you know, a 30 equivalent to maybe 30 days or 31 usage. Days, yeah. of usage.
Okay.
But it's that sitting time, mm-hmm. that people don't also realize takes a toll on these materials as, mm-hmm. well. So even though they're not in the sun, they're not in the heat,
yeah.
the products that you use are still going to take a toll on your car.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as some of the better products that keep everything moisturized the right way?
If you're lucky enough to have a leather interior, I love to use white saddle soap. That cleans the leather with just beautifully. Use that with warm water and a spritzer. Microfiber towel to work it in there. I mean, it takes dirt and grime off of the interior. And I used it initially with my 25th anniversary Trans Am, which has a white leather interior. Mm-hmm. It brought that back after I bought the car spectacularly. The interior looks brand new. It helps the particular leather stay nice and moist and protects it. And if it does get dirt from a show or something like that, it's very easy to clean and wipe off with a towel or microfiber and water. Just beautiful.
Which is good to know because, you know, you got a lot of, and it's more a wide range now of people converting to leather seats.
Yeah.
And they just like the feel of leather versus the cloth. Leather is a lot easier to clean versus cloth if you get a stain on it. So I think you know, the longevity of keeping the leather and stuff moist so it doesn't crack on you or even rip sometimes too.
Well, I remember with my yellow Fiero, I bought from Mr. Mike a two-tone leather interior for that. I used the saddle soap and some McGuire's products on it. Spectacular.
Good.
Just loved it.
What about tires? Because again, tires, the same thing. You know, if you get some products that give you the nice clean shine look to it, but damage the tire in return. What are some of the thoughts on what the safety?
Good old soap and water, man. I tell you, for tires and wheels, for the most part. You know, I don't like to utilize and never have successfully, and nor did I really have to use a real harsh product to do the road wheels or the rally wheels. Mm-hmm. You know, but I found if you get the muck off and you put a coat of the Meguiar's Tech 2 wax on it, it takes the all the imperfections out, a lot of them at least, and gives a protection of coat of
I've never heard that before. Never heard of putting actually wax in your tires.
Not the tires, but the wheels.
Oh.
The wheels. With respect to the tires, it's just soap and water. And then if you are lucky enough to have a wipe wall, raised letters, red lines, utilize a scuff pad, and the bright white product, which really brings that back beautiful. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. When it comes to the actual cleaning of the tires, mm-hmm. do you recommend also getting into the tread pattern too?
Absolutely, yeah. I utilize a bucket and a containers of water and a little scrub brush and a sponge to get in all of those particular areas. And there are some other products you can buy too, which have handles and really to get into the nooks mm-hmm. and crannies really, really well, and makes a good difference. Because, okay. you know, there are car shows out there where if you have a stone in the tread of your tire, you'll lose points. It's a small, cheap shot type of point, but it gets real funky with people. Here's the great stuff, the Armorall. I use this at every show. I love this. This is the conventional stuff, the not too shiny. You can spray it on. It turns all white. You look, oh my God, I screwed up my tire. It's going to ruin it. But you work it in with a sock. When it dries, it gives this beautiful finish, which is non-prejudicial to the tire.
So you recommend, because some of them are, you know, spray on, no need to wipe, but you actually recommend wiping them versus just letting it sit?
From my experience, by utilizing like the sock methodology, it evens out the entirety of the product on the tire, which in my opinion makes a big difference because it looks perfect.
Doesn't get the run marks if it runs and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, what a difference. And you work it in, you know what I mean? And it takes a while before it, you know, sets up and dries.
Do you recommend more of the spray versus the gel?
I love the spray, personally. You know, you can get it in there, and you work it in, and it's beautiful. And the nice thing about this product, when it dries, it doesn't flip all over your tires and your rocker panels. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I know I've seen some people too utilize that on their rims as well, just to get that the cleanliness of it too. Is there a product that you recommend that whether it's honeycomb, whether it's aluminum versus chrome, a product that will kind of help overall if they just want to do a one shot and done.
I have, you know, with the honeycomb wheels, it's a very, very difficult area to really clean. You know,
I would some think of the old school Trans Ams have the little honeycombs too.
I mean, it's a really, really tough. I would think a brush, warm water, you know what I mean? You can't be too aggressive with it because I'm sure that you could scratch and or scuff those particular wheels. You know, what type of product? I've never had to do that, so I really cannot comment with any credibility of what a person can use on that.
Okay.
You know?
One probably maybe a little bit tougher question is, with I know some of the Corvettes have them, the five spoke or four spoke rims, and you can see the inside part of the rim.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you have people who put the weights on there.
Yeah.
Some people will have you know, if it's a little bit heavier in the grease with greasing the brakes and greasing all the points and stuff in there, they're gonna have that drip. Mm-hmm. On the rim. Is it easier to do soap and water that has maybe like a Palmolive or a Dawn that has a little bit of aggressiveness to the soap to get that stuff off, or would you still recommend just the regular car soap and a sponge?
You know, your methodology works. You know, it's not too aggressive and it'll address that very nicely. But the neat thing, once you get that off, and if you wax it with like the Tech 2 stuff, if you have that happen again, you can just wipe it away with soap, with water and a microfiber towel.
And that's the cool thing is you know, some people may not have known that.
It's the prep, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it takes you those 4 or 5 hours to prep it, then that return is going to be a lot more easier if you have to clean stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the payback is definitely there for the investment in time that you initially did.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So kind of talking about going into the actual detailing of it. My always thinking has been the prepping. Just like if you're going to have your car painted, you have to have that prep work done.
Yeah.
I look at it as you're going to wash it, you're going to clay bar it.
Okay.
Would you then paint cleaner it, polish it, wax it? What's your steps in okay. And I'll say in detail, okay. of how you start and finish?
Okay. After the car has been clay barred, you can either utilize a good wax or you can use a polish. Now, I am very partial to wax, and I utilize the Tech 2 stuff of Meguiar's, but, you know, depending on your taste, you know, whatever suits you. You do that, you wax a section of the particular car with the product that you like, you take a look at it, and you're done. You know what I mean?
Some people may not know the difference between a paint cleaner, a polish, and a wax.
Mm-hmm.
What's the main difference between those three?
Rubbing compound, you know, the amount therein, you know, how aggressive that can be. You know, the Meguiar's products are very, very good. The Mother's products corresponding on there to likewise. And they do a great job. They can get some of the imperfections off and protect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you're driving the car, going to a car show, just enjoying it, it gets dirty, it's much easier to clean. Again, the prep work.
Right. Is there a need to do after, you know, if somebody were to clay bar,
okay.
Is there a need to do the paint cleaning, the polishing, and the waxing?
The clay bar cleans it and gets it to a point wherein you can either wax it or polish in order to protect the investment that you have, making the body perfectly clean. This enhances the appearance of the paint, the depth of the particular shine, all that, either with the polish or the wax.
So if somebody's not familiar with a clay bar, but they've always known paint cleaner,
okay,
or some they even call it, you know, wax cleaner or stuff like that, would you say that that's okay versus the clay bar if somebody doesn't have the know-how to use a clay bar, or they just don't want to spend that time detailing of the clay bar, will a paint cleaner work as a substitute?
I guess it could, but in my strong opinion, I would definitely utilize either the Meguiar's or the Mother's clay bar kit. It's all contained. It's all there.
And then the clay bar gets into those fine scratches or the scuff marks, and it pulls that.
All of the any horrible thing on the car. I had a 93 Camaro, which had overspray and some awful stuff on the front end of it. I was trying to get that off for the longest time, utilizing stronger products, rubbing compounds, which were, it was impervious.
Mm-hmm.
My good buddy, Rick, who has a 99 Trans Am, said, Wayne, you're doing it wrong. Utilize a clay bar kit. It'll be off instantaneously. Well, I read the clay bar kit, bought it, spritzed it with the particular lubricant, took the clay bar, which is a little rectangular yellow bar, went over the area in question, it was gone and never returned. Wow, perfect. Utilizing that methodology over the entire car, terrific. Swirl marks were even gone with this stuff. The imperfections from daily driving, bird debris, road tar, all of this came off effortlessly. And then when you waxed it with the, in my case, the Meguiar's Tech 2, you had a beautiful finish, a strong finish that if you didn't want to wax it, the rest of you didn't need to because it was properly protected and it would come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said you utilize a lot of the Meguiar's and Mother's products. A lot of, maybe some people don't realize that there's actually two types of Meguiar's products out there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got what I call the black bottle or the burgundy bottle.
Okay.
And then you have the beige bottles.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the two? I know price is...
Hey, I'm the purist here. Funny thing is, you get into a particular groove. I have had no desire to change from the Meguiar's Tech Wax. The only thing I did modify was Meguiar's came out some years ago with the Ultimate Liquid Wax, which in my opinion is almost as easy to use as a quick detailer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a waxy kind of thing. And it really helps the car. But I have never deviated from the Meguiar's, those two products.
Okay. Have you ever used the beige bottles at all?
No.
Okay, because I know those ones are what they call a little bit more evasive and stuff like that. Personal preference for a gel wax versus a paste wax?
You know, that's interesting. Depending on the application, if you have decals or significant graphics on a car, I like the Meguiar's Gold Wax. It's a paste wax.
Mm-hmm. I utilize that quite a bit.
Oh, you put that on those decals, it sets them in. You have to be careful not to, on the edge, in the end of the decal, to get them to curl back, but that protects that stuff beautifully. But the liquid waxes that Meguiar provides, which I recommend, beautiful. I love using them, man, I tell you. Perfect. And awesome. You can control the utilization. You can use the application process. Would be the foam pad in the big areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would strongly recommend a person to utilize a sock or something like that in the smaller areas so you don't get it all over the place. Get it into some plastic that is porous. It gets in there. It's a world of hurt to get it out.
So you would rather use elbow grease in taking everything off.
And the hardest thing, though, the liquid waxes, the Meguiar's Tech 2 and the Ultimate, you put it on and it's pretty, very easy with the utilization of microfiber towels to get it off. What is not so easy is the Meguiar's Tech, the Meguiar's Gold Wax, which, boy, I tell you, that is tough to get off.
It is, and my going back to me as a fear and a nightmare is utilizing a brush or a power,
power washer. Get that dirt off.
Well, not necessarily.
It goes power, the paint.
Yeah. But an actual, power tool that uses a polisher. Oh. The two hand. I'm gonna take that foam brush and I'm gonna apply it, or I'm gonna take that, what they call the the taking off of the wax to make it, you know. I'm old school, so I'm always going to use that elbow grease.
Yeah.
If somebody is getting into the detailing part of it, do you recommend them just using old school elbow grease versus any tools?
You know, I think the products that they have, the power tools, the Meguiar's product, the Mother's, are much safer to use than, let's say, stuff that was 5-10 years ago.
I mean, making it safer. Yeah, and I mean, back then, it's like if you use it wrong, you're either burning the paint.
Oh, yeah.
Or
you're going through the paint, yeah.
Or, you know, you think the you know, the product is still on there that you're waxing it is not, and you're actually just damaging the clear coat.
Yeah.
And that's one of my always time fears is, you know, not knowing how to use those properly. And I'm thinking, oh, you're always safe with that elbow grease.
Yeah. Oh, I like to do it with my hands. You know what I mean? I have a machine, an old one, which I utilize, which I just wasn't comfortable with. I was always worried if there was enough, if it was moist enough, the pad, so it wouldn't burn the paint. And when you're using that, if you have a body, an extreme body line, if you sit on the line too much, you can burn right through the clear coat to hit the paint, and you're down to the body, which is not good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just comfort level, really. I think it's a lot safer now, what they have out there for people, and it's what you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. After everything is said and done, I know you touched base a couple times on, you know, you come back from a show or and you hit it again with wax.
Yeah.
Is there an advantage to waxing it? And how many times should a person wax it? And if they want to keep it up, can they just use a quick detailer in order to...
Great question. When I just started out in 1999, 2000, every time I did a show, when I came back, I had to re-wax my car. However, that's kind of foolish. If you have a lot of good wax in your car, you don't need to do that. Maybe once, twice a year to do the tattoo wax. If you just keep it clean, use a microfibers and water to it, you're looking good. Augmented by the Mother's Quick Detailer, the Meguiar's product, you're looking great.
Okay.
You really don't need to wax it perpetually.
I usually try to do it once in the spring. I used to do it once in the spring and then once after the show season.
Okay.
But then I was thinking to myself, why am I doing it again in the spring when the car's been sitting since
absolutely,
fall?
Sure, absolutely.
So I've just basically toned it down to waxing it during the off season.
That's
and then,
that's
you know, good. Again, the car doesn't see a whole lot of sun or you know, out of the garage. Unless it's on a Saturday show or a Sunday show, or on the few times I take it out during the week. But again, you know, it out of 365 days, it may only see a total, if you're looking at hours-wise, a full maybe month out of the garage. So I've kind of toned down the waxing and stuff like that to where I usually just do it at the end of the season, get it ready for the next season.
But you know, the funny thing is, you'll know. If you're, let's say, coming back from a show and you go through some horrible roads or something like this, when you're cleaning the car on a, you know, preliminary basis, you know, the easy stuff, you'll know if you have road tar on it.
Right.
If you have road tar, which is not coming off that easily, then you have to step it up, so to speak, either go to the Tech 2X or something along those lines.
Right. And then my other thing, too, is I utilize a bra on the front of the car.
Okay.
And that helps with nighttime driving, because at nighttime driving, you're going to have all those bugs that come out that are attracted to your lights.
I hear you.
If that happens, do you recommend waxing it or an actual product that would utilize taking the what they call bug remover?
Okay. I have never had to utilize bug remover, and I have like a good illustration would be like the 25th anniversary Trans Am. White car, big nose on the automobile, the whole thing. If I had bugs on it, you take your spritzer with water, microfiber, get it off immediately. You got no problem. Mm-hmm. You have all this terrific wax buildup over there, which is protecting the paint, and you have no problem.
Okay.
Utilizing bras, I have a bra for a vet. I don't use it that much, but I do use the little funny half bra for my Toyota. Bumper, front bumper is fine. It's plasticky kind of thing, but the hood itself is metal.
Mm-hmm.
And the leading edge I worry about, so I have this little LeBras for that. Perfect.
Awesome. Perfect. Cool. Any last, you know, remarks or anything like that that you can give to the people who are either just starting to detail or have already crest and got that first initial detailing done and now are into what I would say the home stretch of just keeping that up then?
You know, for those people just getting into it, there's going to be a lot of trial and error. You're going to utilize products that are going to work and some which are not going to work. You know, you have to pick and choose and do it. For those who are comfortable with product, continue using them. If you see something advertised which looks good, give it a try if you want to do that. But remember, there's prejudice to it if it's not good. Technically, if you want to try a new wax in the car, and this is what killed me when I was Dr. Detail, for new products, I did not want to strip off all of the wax on my Fiero to try a new product.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was always in the groove with respect to the Meguiar stuff. Okay. I was very reluctant to try something different because if it didn't work so good, it's prejudicial.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look good all this time, no way.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's detailing in cars, it's a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an arduous process. And the payback from doing a good job is the admiration of your friends and colleagues, the general public, and the conversations that you have with people at either a cruise night or a car show, admiring what you did and asking you, how did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
It shows I always tell people what I use and enjoy helping them take their car to the next level.
All right. That's always good to hear too. I've been a little bit lazy on it, but I am in process of putting all those old Dr. Detail articles up on our website. So there's going to be many articles on there referring to all the different types of styles that you do and all the prep and stuff like that. So,
how to do it.
Right. Yeah. And once you get over that initial deep detail, it is a lot easier.
Oh yeah, it's a piece of cake. Yeah.
I think people just get scared of that. You know, like, wow, you know, how am I going to get this off? Or how, you know, sure, I'm just going to get it clean and now I'm going to, you know. I think once you get that over that hump of that great detail, it's going to, in the long run, it's going to stay like that. And
never wax the entire car with product. Do only sections at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you the comfort level. You feel more confident in doing it.
And you can take breaks. And you don't have to worry about after putting everything on. Like, sure, oh, now I got to take it all off. Yeah. You know, you can do a fender. You can do a hood and then come back and say, oh, I'm going to go to lunch.
Absolutely.
And then come back and like, okay, I'll get the hood and the trunk. You know, because with what I see an advantage that I have, it's a smaller car.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Toyota. It's a smaller car.
Oh, piece of cake, man.
But when you get into the old, you know, Buicks.
Land yachts.
Yes.
That's Electra 225s. Oh, yes. My God.
You've got a lot more landscape to cover.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're looking at that, it's like, okay, you know, you got to. And I think that's where a lot of people look, too, is like, well, I've got, you know, a large car, and I just don't have the time. But I think on during the off season, there is time.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, instead of not, you know, you're looking at the car and say, okay, I'm looking at the car in the garage, okay, I'm gonna close the door. You're spending the time with it that you may not get otherwise.
Sure. So. I hate to be cliche, but Rome wasn't built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just take your time and enjoy it.
Yeah. Really. So, well, I
mean,
you.
The payback is there. You know, you take a look at a car that was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring it back with like either Meguiar's, mother's product, or whomever. It's instant gratification.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I thank you for taking the time today to
chat with us. Hey, thank you. And for the membership can also look for an article I've done for Jim at the behest of one of the members, which will outline a whole bunch of detailing products that I have used successfully for many decades, as well as friends of mine from the car show circuit, who have used products other than Meguiar's and or mother's products that they have had great success with. That's cool.
And like I said, thank you for taking the time. You know, it's good that because last article that was written for Furo Focus was back in November, December 2014.
Wow.
So, and I know there's many people, you know, that always asks, you know, are you still doing the detailing and stuff like that? And I think, you know, just sitting down talking to you and you know, getting to let people know of what it takes to actually detail. So
it's my pleasure.
Thank you. And, you know, we look forward to seeing you in many shows to come.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. And you can find this podcast at furofocus.com. And we'll be getting together again probably for episode 4. Not sure what the it's going to be in that one, but it'll probably be more geared towards prepping for the 35th anniversary show. So and then one of the ones later on down the year, we're going to sit down with Fred Bartemeyer and get to know him a little bit more and get to know what he has in his collection and what makes him the prime possibility for him as our personal figure museum enthusiast. So I look forward to talking with him later on during the year. So for right now, thank you. Thank you, Wayne. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.